Ephesians chapter 3. Because of this, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, because of you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the ministry of God's grace which was given me for you, how that through a revelation there was made known unto me the mystery of the gospel, as I wrote about earlier in a few words. When you read it, you will understand how I have been given the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages wasn't made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed unto the apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Namely, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. They are also heirs and members of the same body and sharers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I am a minister, a servant, according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given me through the working of his power. So you feel all the time Paul's humility, that he says that this is a gift that I've been given by grace, by undeserved kindness. It's an honour to preach the gospel. And in the past, of course, the idea had been that just the Jews were God's people. But now the Gentiles have been revealed as also being able to be part of God's people. The Gentiles are people who aren't Jews. So now it doesn't matter what your nationality is. Even if you're a Jew, it makes no difference. We have all been baptized into the body of Christ, and that is what makes us one. So this new community of God's people that was being started in the first century was of all sorts of different people, not just of Jews. And this was so hard for the Jews to accept. And we think of how people like Jonah struggled so hard in the Old Testament to accept that Gentiles could repent. They could repent even back then and be accepted by God. And Paul says, this great gift of serving. See, that's how he sees himself, as a servant, not as some great leader. And whenever you see a pastor or a leader of a church proud and full of themselves, you know something's wrong. Because he calls himself a minister, a servant, just as Jesus was a servant. And he says, the wonder of all this is that this great work was given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, so that I might go and preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he says, I'm the worst of all the believers. Now, earlier he's written to the Corinthians and said, I'm the least of the apostles. I am an apostle, but I'm the worst of them. I'm the least. Here he says, I'm the least of all believers. And just before he dies, he writes to Timothy and he says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner. So as Paul goes on in his life, he gets more and more persuaded that he is really a sinner. But he also gets more and more confident that he's going to be in the kingdom. That's how it should be with us. That we get more and more humble. We really realize our sins. And yet you also become more and more persuaded of God's love. And that's why you've got this mixture within yourself, in the mature Christian, of confidence in the love of God and absolutely sure that we will be saved, and yet mixed with humility. And he says that his job is to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. That is, that both Jews and Gentiles and all men can be saved, which was hid in God who created all things. And the purpose of this is that even the princes and the powers in high places might have taught to them through the church the wonderful wisdom of God. So even the great rulers of this world were to see the unity of the Church of Christ and be persuaded. And Jesus said the same in his prayer of John 17, that the unity between his people would be enough to convert the world. And by that, all men would know God's purpose and love. And he goes on to talk about how this was God's plan in Christ from the beginning. And in him, we have boldness, we have confidence and access by the faith which is in Jesus. So we can have confidence before God because of Jesus. Even though, as we just said, Paul was so persuaded of his own sinfulness. So therefore, I encourage you not to faint, not to give up at all my sufferings for you. And for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the Father of Jesus. Jesus is not the same as God. God is the Father of Jesus. And by him, the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, that he would give you, according to the riches of his grace, that you might be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may live in your hearts by faith, so that in the end you, being established in love, may be able to understand with all these other saints, the special ones, the believers, how broad and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to this power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ for ever and ever. Amen. So God does more than we even ask or think. It's not just that he answers our prayers. He looks at what we really want and does more than we could even imagine. Now that's the wonderful God that we've got, and he works through the Spirit that he's given us in the inner person, right inside us. We've got to be open to that and to accept it.